Sharp Elbows is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sharp Elbows. I'm Nada Mukashvi.
And this is State Rep Francesca Hong.
We're so excited to be joining you this wonderful Saturday morning. Thank you so much for spending time with us. As always, we're here for some truth-telling and to have a conversation about the current state of affairs in Wisconsin, across the country, and in the world. And as always, we welcome you to join us. The call-in number is 844-967-2789. How are you, Fran? I think it's been a while since we've been on air together.
Yeah, we've been going, every other Saturday now. And then the last show we got to do, we had an opportunity to speak with my dear sister and her grandparents-in-law, because it was the first night of Passover. So we had a really enriching and just honest discussion about cross-racial religion and identity, and really what it's been like for my sister, you know, raising two kids as Korean American and Jewish. So we missed you, but we're happy that you're back.
Thank you so much. I think I was holed up with the, you know, symptoms of the vaccine. So
yes,
a little sick, but I'm glad to hear that it went well. A lot has happened in the past few weeks. I thought we'd get started with kind of a discussion about the really historic election in Madison across the state that happened this past Tuesday. There were so many great results that, you know, we were a little sad to see. It was, I think, the shining moment in the election was the state superintendent, Jill Underlie, won, which was wonderful. She is such a champion of public schools and students. And then throughout Madison, a lot of older races here were historic. There was a historic minority-majority membership on the council and representation that's kind of unmatched across the country, let alone the state of Wisconsin. So how was it kind of witnessing that, Fran, as an elected who kind of just went through that yourself? Any new advice to these people that just took office?
Yeah, I'm so glad we're having a chance to really put some assessment as well as celebrate the elections and grieve. I think, you know, we're never going to please everyone, but I think it's important to remember that we now have a majority BIPOC city council right now. And that is not only historic, but really kind of reflective of what I hope to be not just thinking about inclusion as a talk or a trend or what I like to call a flavor of the month, but that inclusion is fluid and progressing, and it's something that everyone needs to work towards and not just talk about. So I'm hoping with this new council that you know, it will be not only reflective of our growing diverse community, but that they act as an amplifier of the needs of the community and not just trying to be a single voice, that we see communities of color not as a monolith or a binary, but that even within communities of color, that we are looking really towards judging people by the contents of their characters and not necessarily mm-hmm. only, you know, the fact that you know, we can do better than just representation. A lot of candidates reached out to me, and I was really excited to speak with them, you know, about the campaign process and ask them why they were running and what got them excited to run. And I usually ask candidates the same question, the same two questions at the end of kind of, you know, the stump speech that they have to give everyone. And mm-hmm. and I ask folks what leadership means to them. And, you know, if it's something that can be, and I really, I'm interested in how people define leadership, because I don't think that the concept of leadership is discussed as much when we talk about campaigns and candidates. I think people, as much as we want to focus on the issues, what this past couple of years has shown is that a lot of our issues are similar, regardless of geography and background. A lot of communities are lacking basic needs right now. So what type of leadership do you plan to bring to be able to really honor the concepts and the lifestyle that is inclusion and diversity and creating a multiracial and multi-ethnic community. So I ask folks what leadership means to them, and then I ask them how do you define community? And I think the candidates who answered that most meaningfully and honestly and thoughtfully did end up winning. And so I was happy to see that, at least the ones that I'd spoken to. So that's still my advice for folks when they ask me, you know, what was the process like? How do you combat the fact that you didn't have a ton of political experience? Mm-hmm. When folks, you know, really question, you know, what makes you qualified? I think if you can answer what leadership means and what community means, and you've really given those two very important paradigms, thought, and you've honored other people's experiences in really creating that analysis, then I think you're ready to lead.
Mm. I connect with that a lot. I know Henry Sanders, the CEO of Madison 365, one of the leading publications here that in Madison that uplifts minority voices, said that, you know, we're at the table now, so what's for dinner, right? Mm. So what issues do you see in a Madison that is very much divided on socioeconomic lines? There's two Madisons, right? There is this narrative that, you know, there's a Madison for middle upper class people, and then a Madison for lower income Wisconsinites that are usually people of color. What do you think are the issues, you know, that are facing these new alders that they're going to have to tackle in new, creative, imaginative ways?
I think Madison continues to suffer from what I call analysis paralysis. And every single alder should really try to be open-minded and active listeners in how they are defining community and how they are expanding community. Because I think one of the big issues right now is that folks, I don't know if they often see the benefits of expanding community. And I know that we have a lot of disparities in terms of access to resources, which especially when it comes to our public schools and housing. I think education and housing are two really complex issues that I think people are kind of being torn apart on, because it gets really difficult to overcome this NIMBY attitude that I see in a lot of communities. It gets really, really difficult to kind of change your lifestyle when it's been working for you, and it's been working for the neighborhood that you live in. But what happens is that shields you from neighborhoods that don't have that. So I would still say, you know, the zoning issues and the rising cost of living in this town are exceeding the pace of what's available to folks who have been left behind. So really closing that gap in terms of how do we increase affordable housing when we are in such a developer-friendly neighbor city, and then, you know, where can we make sure that we're investing in really pushing student-led programs in our public schools so that it's not just the parents with more of this NIMBY attitude really dictating how resources are allocated. I think I'm very, very uplifted and encouraged by the school board right now, and the addition of Maya Pearson, I think, is going to be great. And I think right now we have a school board that looks at the conditions that contribute to kind of the disparities and are assessing not just from an immediate needs-based perspective, but looking kind of at the long game of making equity ubiquitous throughout multiple different subjects, and how do we ensure that the programming and what's available for early childhood care helps with those families that are kind of struggling and left behind as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting kind of looking at articles that have come out about this election in the Isthmus, particularly by former Mayor Dave Shislevitz, I think. Sorry if I mispronounced it, but I think there's this lack of understanding of kind of what you touched on, what Henry Sanders touched on in Madison 365, that minority voices aren't a monolith, that there is diversity and divergency, if that's the word, in political opinion and ideology. And so I think what's really beautiful about this council is that you have conservative people of color and all the way to leftist people of color. And you have these viewpoints that range because of lived experience, because of, you know, the constituency that they represent. And I think that's probably one of the kind of tremendous aspects that we don't talk about often. We see, you know, the press usually, if they see a person of color, they assume that they, you know, subscribe to a certain way of thinking and feeling about issues that matter to Madison, when you really have a mixture. And so you have, I think, true representation. We were lucky enough and honored, it was such an honor for me to be invited to by the Bayview Foundation to their vaccination pop-up. And I know that it moved me so much. And so when I hear you talking about housing and you know, making sure that developers are serving the community, I was hoping in the last few minutes before break, you would touch on, you know, what that experience meant to you.
I think Bayview is just an absolute shining example of how to define community and how truly inclusive and servant leadership, and leadership that is really committed to the work of collaboration, what the outcome of that could look like. I encourage folks who are listening right now to really look at the Bayview community and their phasing for their new development right now. It is driven by what the community wanted. I mean, the Bayview community consists of folks that have been living there for over 30 years, and folks who are, it's multi-generational, it's multi-ethnic, it's multiracial, and mm-hmm. that community knows what makes them feel safe, what makes them, what they need to continue to build community. And so I was very encouraged by what really can be when you center mm-hmm. the people, their voices, their needs, and what they want for their families. And you have folks who are willing to work with them from a development standpoint to really center and be led by the community. And, mm-hmm. and so again, showing that leadership can be inclusive and what can come of that when we do it.
Thank you so much for that. I 100% agree. Hey, you're listening to Sharp Elbows. That was State Rep Francesca Hong. When we come back, we ask her, you know, how has it been being a rep for 3 months? So please tune in. Call-in number is 844-967-2789. We'd love to have you join the conversation. This is 92.7 FM Devil Radio.